Good morning, radio. This is WRM and Gaylord. Anybody on? RRM and Gaylord looking. Anybody out there tonight?
B7OLD. B7OLD monitoring. WDATX Mobile 14714.
Good morning, Mr. Jeff.
Good morning, Mr. Jim. Another week has begun, and I have a feeling it's going to be a long one, my friend.
Don't you hate those five-day work weeks? I don't miss them a bit.
I bet. No, the five-day work week doesn't bother me a whole lot. It's a matter of the boss has high expectations for this week, which means we're working long hours. So, we'll make her happen. but I have a feeling I'll be getting to work in the dark, and I'll be going home in the dark.
Going home is still 7:30 before it gets dark. Hope that's not that late. But I had an interesting thing happen on my mobile. Remember when you hit your repeater on 000?
Yes, sir.
Well, I still had that programmed into the memory. And Wisconsin was booming in on 000 on Saturday. So I'm glad you didn't end up on that frequency.
It's all good. So I ended up staying home. Supposed to go to Lansing and back on Saturday, but that got canceled. And the wife ended up being sick most of the weekend. So we're just hoping we don't end up with it.
Well, odds are you will. But hey, that's fall flu season. That happens. But I found a Tram 1481, the 17-foot fiberglass antenna. It's supposedly going to be arriving today.
Nice. That's a good antenna. Although I am having problems with the one I've got. And I don't know if it's the antenna itself or if it's the cable. But I've got issues with one of them. And I need to replace them, guys. Money and time is just not on my side this year.
Yeah, I found one for $119, which included things. So we'll see how the shipping, hopefully all the parts are there. That's about a lot cheaper than any of the other places. But yeah, and the other interesting thing is I was dropping on 8.6 using this antenna. So I might have a feed line issue also.
I've noticed your signal's not been what it used to be, so I understand. So hopefully we'll get it all taken care of and you'll be back up and loud and proud like you used to be.
I mean, it is LMR 400, so it should be good for the 65-feet run, but you know, stuff happens. So hey, with that, I'm going to sign with you and go get myself a cup of coffee. Alpha Charlie 8 Delta Golf, hopefully you're not working until nighttime.
I'll keep my fingers crossed, but I don't think that's going to do me a whole lot of good. So, a lot to do and no time to do it all in. So, there you go. All right, we'll talk to you later, Mr. Jim. You have yourself a good morning, and we will talk to you later. WDAPX Mobile.
NADVF Mobile. W8HBX.
W8FU.
K8RUH, mobile.
Good morning. What is up?
Not much at all. What's going on your side?
A short week this week. I'm going to finally take that, probably take Wednesday, Thursday, Friday this week. But I'm definitely going to get things knocked out this week. I'm bringing a crew in. But I've got to go in today and tomorrow and get out of the project. Other than that, had a good weekend. My granddaughter's 6th birthday, so there was that. Not a whole bunch else besides that.
Well, that sounds like a good time. Were you in my neck of the woods then?
Yeah, on Saturday, we were over there. And yesterday I didn't do a whole lot of anything.
Same here. Didn't get a whole lot accomplished, but didn't plan on it. So got out, did a few things, and did a lot of relaxing. It was a good weekend to relax. The weather was crummy, and just hung out. My daughter had friends over and played. Just chilled. It was a pretty good weekend, all things considered.
Well, there ain't nothing wrong with that. That's good. I keep thinking there was something else, but no, I can't recall. Well, I did find this really cool place. It's not terribly far from your workplace. It's at 14 and Campbell. It's called, I think it's Mia's or Maya's Bakery. Have you ever been there?
No, I have not. I'll have to look it up, see what it is.
Yeah, it's right in this strip mall there at 14 and Campbell, you know, Campbell or Hilton or what, yeah, Campbell, T-Bones in the 14 Mile Road right there. And there's an Outback, and there's some sort of grocery store. It's one of them, it's not an IGA, but it's, you know, one of them, like independent grocery stores. And there's a strip mall, and in the corner of that strip mall up toward 14 Mile Road, right out on the road, there's this, I think it's Mia or Mayo's Bakery, and they do brunch, and they had some really, really cool pastries, and I had this breakfast bagel with avocado and egg and all this other, and this caramelized bacon, and oh my God, was it good. And I was watching some of the other dishes they were bringing out to other people, and they looked fantastic. I mean, some of it was kind of hipster. You know, they had the fanciest looking avocado toast I ever saw. And I had a big old mug of cappuccino. It was really good. So they do a good, they pull some good espresso. Yeah, worth checking out if you get a chance.
Yeah, I think I know right where that is, actually. I've never been there. There's several stores in that strip mall that, when I drive past, they look interesting, but I never stop there for some reason. I'll have to maybe drive through there this afternoon.
I think there's another restaurant closer to the shopping center that, is this guy turning or stopping? Turning. There'd be a little bus through on its turn signal. Wasn't sure if it was stopping or turning. But, yeah, there's another restaurant, I think, I don't know if it's just a general diner or if it's specifically Middle Eastern. I think I had Middle Eastern there. I ate there many, you know, well, not many, but several years ago. And, think of anything else in there, honestly. There used to be a credit union that we frequented, but that's long gone. So can't think of anything else besides the Outback Steakhouse, which kind of stand alone. Nah, but anyhow. Yeah, good chow food ski. And I'm going to put that one on my to-do list when I'm in the mood for a little upscale breakfast brunch.
I think there's also a sushi restaurant in that plaza, and I think, if I'm remembering correctly, the Napa Auto Parts that was on Rochester Road between Maple and 14 is now in that plaza also.
Well, I can neither confirm or deny, so I will just say that you probably are right. I was actually out and about. I had some errands to run, and I said, you know what, I'm going to grab some breakfast while I'm out and about. And I was in Royal Oak at the time, and I just started going up Main Street. And I said, I'm going to go someplace I've never been before. So I went all the way up Main until I got to Clawson. I figured I'd seen something by the time I got to Clawson, and then when I didn't, I turned right and started heading back. And I passed it, and then I got the other side of I-75, and I said, man, I know everything over here. This is boring. So I turned back around, and I came back. Glad I did. Almost passed it up and went to Panera. But actually, standing was parked and went into Panera, and the people in front of me just were taking forever to go through the kiosk. And, you know, and then I looked at the menu real quick, and I just said, ah, you know what? I'm going back to that other place. So I was this close to not going, and I would have never known.
Yeah, that's good. Boring and expensive. So you might as well find a new place and a local place.
Oh, yeah, you're right there. Panera ain't cheap. This place that I went to was... I got one of their more expensive breakfast dishes, and it was like $10. So it wasn't crazy. And it was a lot of food, I got to admit, and the presentation was pretty amazing. So I would say that it's not cheap, but it's not crazy. You know, it's just a little, and it's definitely worth a couple buck up charge. So, anywho, other than that, I got to, besides work, I got to get to a tractor supply today and see if I can buy a feed block for my deer. And somebody told me that might be baiting deer, might be illegal. Are you baiting if you're not hunting? I don't know.
I feel like that could be an awfully gray area. I bet... If you went by the letter of the law, that probably is still considered baiting, because I think the point of having no baiting is that they're not all eating from one source and passing any disease or anything like that on. But, I mean, if you're putting it in your backyard or whatever, how is anybody going to ever know that you're putting a salt lick or a mineral block back there?
Yeah, but it's not like we have a bunch of wildlife. We have our very specific three deer, mom and her two kids. And I was pretty sure one was a buck. I saw the buttons, you know, but they were pretty small. But they kind of vanished for a week or so. I didn't see them around, and they were back last night. And Mama was molting pretty bad last time I saw her, and she looked pretty ratty, but she looks fantastic now. And in the butt buck, there's no question now, he's got some big old, there's still buttons, but very, very pronounced. and the little sister, I'm presuming. I didn't see any buttons on her. She still can't hop the fences quite as well as mom and the buck. So often those two are alone, and baby's back pacing, you know, in the other yard, kind of like, you know, hey, don't leave me.
That's cool. We had some deer and some fawns in our yard a few years ago, and they were just hanging out in the neighborhood. It was awesome because, you know, where I'm at is awfully urban, and we see some wildlife. We got some big old healthy coyotes. I've seen some fox, and, you know, the run-of-the-mill urban animals. But to have deer running around is pretty neat. But they haven't been back in several years.
Yeah, I got to say, that really surprises me where you're at. Because, you know, when you get deer, you always say, well, they, you know, with me, they could have come from that Friendship Woods. They could have come from, you know, Red Run, Helmich Park. You know, there's a lot of deer back in Red Run. There's a lot of deer in that Freedom Woods or whatever the heck you call it there. So, you know, all they got to do, and then I'm on dirt roads, you know, so all they got to do is just get across, you know, either 13 or DeQuinter and into that area of dirt roads. And, you know, I can see how they get over to us. But, boy, I'll tell you what, where you're at, where do you figure they came from? Good grief, there's nowhere around there for miles, right?
There's two spots. There's the Lockmore Golf Course that's there over there at Vernier and like Martyr area. And then there is at Jefferson and Martyr, there's the Ford Estate. And so they could be coming from over there, but I don't know. It was pretty random and pretty cool. Because I don't know that we'll ever see it again.
Well, they are learning to live with us. Except for them big animals with the bright, shiny eyes that hit them every once in a while. It's pretty easy living down this way. Well, not so much for deer. They don't pick up our trash. But... yeah, that makes sense. I forgot about the golf course. Yeah, and then I didn't think about the Ford Estate either. I guess that's big enough and, you know, got enough cover where they could be. But, yeah, so I didn't think about that golf course. I've never really seen inside that one to see if there's enough wooded areas to support a few, but it's still pretty interesting that they got out that way, you know, because even getting to there, boy, it's pretty urban to get to there. So, but, you know, just a little, you know, really slow migration, a little movement here, a little movement there. Maybe get spooked in a particular direction. And, you know, then there's a lot of open in Detroit. They might even come from Detroit, you know, because there's so much open fields and wide open areas now down there. I've heard all sorts of crazy talk about animals down there.
Hey, Sean, I got to take a call. I'll catch up with you in a minute. K8RUH.
No problem. W8 if you...
K8RUH.
So, going for a walk this morning?
No, I left a few minutes too late, and then I actually, as I took my phone call, I was pumping some gas, so no walk this morning. Got a run in yesterday, and maybe this evening I'll get a run in or a walk in. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, the weather's been, you know, with the rain and everything. That is, I did lose a camera. Reolink I'm really happy with their system. There's only, if there's one pitfall or one caveat is they have these reset switches. They dangle off the, like a cord off the camera, and they're susceptible to get moisture in them, and then when they do, the cameras, like, you know, keep resetting. And most people just, you know, completely seal them so it can't happen anymore. But kind of a bad design, this reset switch. And I got it going on a second time. I got it going on with one of my cameras. So I do got to deal with that because all the rain. But anyhow, point was, is with the rain, I didn't get much in. And with the festivities on Saturday, you know, there were spots where I could have got something in, but it was quite discouraging. But I do got to get out. I think last I was out was Friday. Was it Friday? I don't know. And so I am overdue for something, a walk or a ride or something. So I will probably do the same here this afternoon.
Yeah, I got a couple buddies that we meet almost every Saturday and Sunday morning and get 3 to 5 miles in. And depending on if somebody's training for a race, sometimes we go longer, but always in between 3 to 5 miles. We have a couple different loops that we do, and it's just a good time, get out, hang out, and then drink some coffee. So, and a lot of times it's rain or shine, but luckily this week we got it in before the rain, so it was good to go.
Yeah, good deal. Yeah, that's the way to do it. I got to get back on the ground a little bit more. I still have a bucket list. I want to officially run a 5K. I've run 5K, you know, myself, just, you know, for the hell of it, many, many times. And I can get in my target rate, you know, my target speed. Pretty easily. I wouldn't be able to right now. I've got, you know, 30 extra pounds on and out of condition, but I could pretty much get back in shape to do it with a little effort. But I got to make the effort, right? And get back to my 30-minute 5Ks, and then go ahead and sign up for one and get that T-shirt. Literally. Get that T-shirt and get that off my bucket list.
Yeah, you could probably get back there pretty easy. It's like anything else. It just takes discipline. And once you get that discipline and the consistency, you'll be good to go.
And an indecisive driver trying to get over into my lane, and I kept giving them a spot, and they kept not taking it, and then I would pull forward, say, to hell with you, then I'd start to pull forward, and then they would look like they were going to start to take it, and I would, like, stop, okay, fine, and I'd back off, and then they would sit there, and I'm like, come on, and then I would go, and they'd look like they'd start to come over again. I'm like, what the hell is going on here?
All the morning commute, it's so much fun, right? Everybody is just a wonderful driver.
You know it. Let's see here. Shall I do Mickey D's this morning? I don't know. Not a big fan of their coffee, but it works in a pinch.
If it's right there, it's good coffee. Hey, do you remember what group or club is putting on that hand swap at Bruce Post this weekend? I can't remember which one it was. I'm trying to look it up so I can see what time it starts.
KZ8Z.
Good morning, Dave.
Good morning. Listening to you guys driving in. It's the USICA swap on Sunday at 8 a.m.
All right, cool. Are you planning on attending, or you just happen to have that information at your fingertips?
I have it on my calendar here. I'm a TBD. I probably shouldn't go because I don't need anything, and you know what happens when you do that.
Absolutely. Well, shoot me a text if you're going to make it over. That's right in my neighborhood. I'm definitely going to make it over there for a few minutes at least.
Okay, will do. I'll if I go, I'll put something on, I'll text you, but I'll put something on Telegram, like we usually do with POTAs. If someone's going to a park, we'll post it on there so others can join.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Okay, I'm going to get a refill here. You guys can carry on. I don't know if Sean was still on here. Anyway, Anthony, have a go-to, man. KZ8, thank you.
You too, KE8RU8. Hey, Sean, are you still around or are you grabbing coffee? I'm making my final approach, pulling into the parking lot.
Okay, not the brightest bulbs at the McDonald's this morning, but...
I tend to not expect much from folks that are working in a retail or in a fast food establishment. Set your expectations low, and you can be impressed, I guess.
I mean, they're usually okay at this one. I mean, they get it right. That's about it. But this one here, they were all scattered. You know, I don't normally do cream in my coffee, but I don't like their coffee, and I'm wondering if I put some cream in it, it'll make it a little bit more tolerable. I don't know. I find it weak. I don't know if putting cream in it's going to make it any better, but it'll change it up. I don't know. We'll try it. But anyhow, you know, so I'm at the, you know, it was like, I said, you know, I'm asking him, can I get creamers on the side? And it's like, I don't understand what I'm asking, you know. It's like, I'm like, do you put the cream in the coffee or is it on the side, you know? And then finally somebody goes, oh, either. I go, fine, can I have it on the side? And, you know, so they finally get what I'm asking. Then I pull up there, and 2 seconds later, and they give me somebody else's order. I look in the, thank God I looked in the bag, so this isn't mine. And they're like, oh, and they're all confused. And then they finally get me the coffee, and they forget, of course, the creamer.
Lovely. All the excitement. Hey, I just pulled up here at work. I'm going to let you go, probably either catch up with you this afternoon or tomorrow morning. So KE8RUH, and I will be clear on your final.
All right, good timing because I am making the final approach here myself. Have fun. Talk to you later. W8FU. W-A-F-U. Yes, as you are. Good morning. What is los?
Guten Morgen, Volstron. I'm awake, and I'm downstairs working. I don't want to be, but I did it.
Well, I get to go babysit at one of my more remote sites pretty much all day, work off my laptop out of the car today and tomorrow, and then I'm off Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, so... It's going to be a weird week for me.
I don't know of anybody else that has more days off, except for maybe Joe Biden.
I'm going to tell you what. Okay, and then another thing.
Is it an old person thing? You just take... You work a day or two, then take the rest of the week off, work a day or two, take the rest of the week off, sometimes you don't even show up.
say, why don't you know, how come you're not retired? Why would I retire?
Because you're doing pre-retirement.
Anyhow, you know, I got a lot of bank time that I've got to burn up. And I have been saving it up, despite you catching me on days here and days there. I haven't really taken any vacations or anything like that, day here, day there. But I get so much that, you know, day here, day there doesn't really burn it up. I like that better. I mean, I like short weeks. But, you know, I don't get deep long vacations. So. And just a lot of time to burn.
Yeah, I'm sitting here voting. That's why I've answered four work emails already, but I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna my absentee ballot came on Saturday, so like I'm gonna vote right now. I'm gonna get this out of my hair. So I'm it's like you're in the voting booth with me right now, Sean.
I just want to know if you're just going full Democratic ticket or you're just going Harris. Wall, and then splitting the ticket after that.
I can't go full single party here. I can't do it.
Anyhow, I guess I wouldn't expect you to answer if I was just joking around. But, yeah, I don't know. It's, I mean, interesting one. We'll see. So, the dynamic of this one has really shifted. I didn't think it was going to be any contest. And then with the recent switch, I think it's very much up in the air.
Oh, exactly. Well, usually on election day, I am busy with work, so... This is a lot easier just to do it and pop it in the mail. We're usually, we're going to be up late working on results and all that, so. I don't know if we're holding any presses. Sometimes in earlier years we would hold presses, but I don't know if we're doing that this year.
Well, we get the day off, so, you know, there's really no excuse for me not to go in person. But my wife is not mobile, you know, and she has issues getting on. She wants the absentee, so I just figured out what the hell. Get her one, get me one, and we'll just do it that way. I find it's not quite as satisfying as, you know, going in there and, you know, going into a little booth and, you know, filling everything out. There's a sense of, like, accomplishment in that, whereas when you do your absentee ballot, it's like, I don't know, it just feels mushy and incomplete, but it's all the same. But that's the way I'll be doing it, like it or not. I figure if I'm going to be, and I don't put them back in the mailbox, I take them right to the city and drop them in the little way of a little spot where you just drop them right in. And I run by there and do that. So if I'm going to run by and do hers, what the hell, might as well run by and do mine. But that moment where I drop them in there can be that moment for me.
Yeah, when we lived in Fenton, the polling place was the elementary school a block away. And then because our precinct is considered the industrial park, there's only like, I want to say, 100 or 120 homes that were in our precinct. And so when they, you know, you have these big long lines for every other precinct, and we would just walk by everybody. We could walk in and walk out. It was pretty slick walking in and out. So we didn't have really much issue there. Here in a little different here in Grand Blanc, but now that they get early, got early voting and all that other crap, they changed the polling place to a single polling place. So I'm like, you know what, just do it this way so I can go take it in and drop it at the city hall, and then or at township hall or whatever it is. So that's how I've been doing it here. The only thing I don't like is I don't get a little I voted sticker, damn it.
Are you sure? I found one in the bottom. I got mine on Saturday as well, and I found my I voted sticker in the return envelope that was tucked in there with the stuff.
Nope, I don't have one. I didn't have one on the other two ones that I've gotten so far this year, so there's no little I voted sticker in the sleeve or the return envelope.
Well, man, that's a rip-off. Yeah, mine was, I was kind of, it was kind of funny. I was going through the packet, and I looked inside the return envelope and said, oh, look at that, I get a little I voted sticker. So, there you go. Anywho, this is one of my more rural sites. Kind of garbage dump. Up I-94. And I am just pulling up to the gate. I have to get out and unlock and get inside and get things ready to go. So let me jump out here, get situated, get everything opened up. My electricians are on their way. After yours, W8FD.
All right. W8FD.
KJDS Mobile.
KJKJL.
W-A-W.
W-A-R-C-Y from W-A-W.
KZ8Z Mobile.
Hold on, let me go to my logbook. Flip back, no, flip back a little further.
Okay. Hey!
Art Alec.
I know, I was listening this morning when you were talking with Anthony. I was like, I got to reach out to Sean. I haven't talked with him in forever. I've been out here. We just haven't reached, you know what, though? It's funny, I just passed two signs. I think our friend Ryan is running for a judge. Wow. We knew him when.
That's right. And I hope he doesn't. He remembers his girlfriend when he gains all that fame and fortune. But anyhow. No, I heard you. You must have jumped out. I was getting coffee or something, and by the time I got through my little extravaganza at the McDonald's with the highly skilled employees, you seem to be gone. But I'm not on that much. I'm on when I commute, and then I get home, and sometimes I forget to turn the stupid radio on, and then other times I turn it on, and I turn it down, you know, because something, you know, somebody's on there, and I'm talking or a phone call, and I forget to turn it up. So I'm equally to blame.
Oh, there's plenty of blame to go around, so they say. You must be out and about because you got a little teeny fry behind you there, but I mean, it's just a little teeny bit. I'm on Rochester Road and Hamlin on the Warren repeater. How about you?
Is this any better or worse?
That was about the same. Maybe a little bit worse, but about the same. You must be in between.
I'm out in Southfield, Farmington. I'm at Orchard Lake in 696, so a long way for the 26. And I thought maybe Phil's machine, West Bloomfield, would be better. But anyhow, I'm heading west. I'm going to probably be out of range here in a little bit.
Yeah, it's funny because, as you know, I'm always on the Warren one. Almost regardless, unless they really get out, like, inside of Romeo, or, now I'm not out by Richmond much. But then when I head east, no wait, that's west, I do switch over to Phil's once in a while. But man, that Warren one just, it's got such nice reach on it.
I switched back to Warren, it's quieter out here. I don't know if I'm getting in any better or worse, but, anyhow, yeah, no, I'm pretty happy with how things are working. I've got several tweaks kind of on the agenda, but, you know, everything just takes time and effort. So, and I really scratched my head about Romeo. Romeo should perform better than it does, so. And there's some stuff in store there as well, but, and, you know, take what we get, right? But it's a weird area you're in up there. It's just a funky area for all.
Yeah, too bad we couldn't get the hookup from Ryan for the tall tower there that they have at the city building before he leaves us. Hopefully he wins. That would be very cool for him. I didn't know that was something that he was looking at, but when I saw the signs and I was actually with my wife in the car, I'm like, hey, I think I know him. It was funny. He's actually the first guy I ever talked with on mobile was Ryan. So it's got a very special place in my heart. Hey, that was creepy. No, you're sounding fine on the Warren repeater. And yeah, something's up with the Romeo one. I don't know. I should totally be able to hit that from home. I would think better than the Warren one, but we've had this discussion before. I think I'm in a dip, or it's in a dip, or something's in the way, or I'm a dip. There you go. I beat you to it.
Well, I'm not happy with the machine, the hardline, the antenna, all that stuff. I've got all new, and, you know, so there's that, and, you know, but it's going back up that tower, and there's really no reason to go back up that tower right now. Although, we do have a set of dishes that were supposed to go between that one and Sterling, although I don't think I'd have a problem getting the guys to go do the dish on Romeo.
but I don't think none of them wants to climb Sterling again.
You're both readable and clear and full signal on the 443-625 KE4ZYQ.
Copy that. Thanks for that report. That voice sounded familiar. Was that Joe? Wait, who was that? Come back. Leonard.
Very good. You win the trophy for the day. Very good guess. KE4ZYQ in Clinton Township.
Hey, Joe. Dave here. Kilo Zulu 8 Zulu, formerly KE8AER. Wow, haven't chatted with you in a long time. We first met, it was at one of the trunk swaps for the GM club, and that was, oh my, that was year three, 4 years ago? I don't remember, but you were there with Leonard, and that's where I first met you, too. Over to you, Sean. You're not sounding good. I copied that, but yeah, that's not good. So, Joe, how have you been?
Well, surviving, thank you. And I think I jinxed Sean there after I said you guys sounded good. He went sour. He went south. I'm surviving. Yeah, I was at a trunk swap probably 3 years ago, maybe four. It wasn't this year because I only been to one, and it was a bummer. There's only about three vendors and probably as many people shopping.
Yeah, it must have been 3 or 4 years ago then. And there was a good little crowd there. I mean, nothing huge, but it was good. Eusika has their swap coming up, I believe it's this Sunday, Saturday or Sunday, but I think it is Sunday at 8 p.m., but I don't remember where it's at. I got it at home on the calendar. You going to make it over there? I'm still TBD.
KE4ZYQ. Probably not. I'm still recuperating from some dental work. Three extractions on one day, and that's still getting better. Doing better than it was, but still not all better, and having ups and downs with it. So probably not, but I'll have to wait till next spring or summer for the next ones. Over to you.
I was going to say I'm not a fan of dental work, but I guess I don't know anybody who is. Yeah, three extractions in one day. I had a dentist do that to me once as a kid. It was before I got braces, and I needed to have the two top and two bottom teeth extracted. And halfway through, he said, "You're doing really good. We're just going to keep going." And I thought, oh, I don't think I wanted to hear that. Yeah, that takes a while to get over. I mean, you sound okay, but that's got to be, I was going to say a pain in the rear, but it's a pain in your mouth. Easy, easy.
Yep, the first day was a little rough, although the numbness, the shots were not totally worn off, so that helped. But having a feeling like your face is half numb, like a stroke, I'm not sure what was worse, the pain when the shots wore off or the shots before the pain came back again. It was just kind of weird. You don't feel yourself, and it's hard to chew on one side when you don't want to mess with the other.
Yeah, I had a buddy who was, he had a tooth extracted, and then they had to put, it's going to get too gross. I'm not going to go down the details. But it's like for him it was a 6 or 7 month process by the time it began and by the time it ended with all the healing in between. So it took a long time. But it's you know, in the end, after it's all said and done, then you go, okay, yep, that's good. And you can kind of forget about the pain of it and get on with things. So That's where I hope you're kind of in that direction, Joe. Hey, I am pulling into my destination here, so I will let you go. Hope you're doing well. I hope to see you soon sometime. And thanks for chiming in here, Joe. 73. Easy, easy. After yours.
Yep, thanks for the well wishes, and maybe next spring, summer will be the first swap or anything I go to, because you don't need anything, can't afford anything, and probably can't go to where they are just for now. So 7-3 for now. Kilo Echo 4, Zulu Yankee, Quebec, gotta be clear.
Okay, I'm back, but probably just about the end of my rope. 696 and Wixom Road. No, this would be 96 and Wixom.
Roger, Roger. WB8E monitoring.
Good afternoon, Walt. KF8S.
Hey, Dave, how's it going? Not a bad day today. What are you up to?
Oh, the usual work, but I was playing around, not wanting to work, and I connected up here, and I heard you. So now, just goofing around, I guess.
Yeah, I'm thinking about getting a bite to eat. I'll make I had a bowl of soup for breakfast. One of my sons brought over some soup from that, what do you call it, the Italian place on 15 and Dodge Park, pardon me, 15 and Dodge Park, brought over a submarine sandwich. Boy, that was good. There's nothing like real, real food instead of the corporate idea like Subway, which has gotten to be garbage.
Yep, yeah, I haven't had Subway in a long time. I like Jersey Mike's. I don't know if you've ever had them. They're pretty good. So what was on this sub? What made this one extraordinary?
Well, number one, the bread. Number two, all the lunch meats were fresh. And the last Subway I couldn't really eat it. One of my sons brought it over, and I took the meat out and put it in front of the dog, and the dog would eat anything you handed it to, and she just turned away. It was literally garbage. The freshness of Bigomilio, I can't pronounce the name. It's that Italian store on 15 in Dodge Park. Been there, I guess, 50 years. I don't know, but anyway. I think the subs cost $13, and I could only eat half. Had to put the other half in the refrigerator for another meal.
Ventimiglia's.
There you go. Yep. Just like Anthony's name. What was I going to say? I've driven by there so many times. I've just never gone in there to get anything. So, but $13 sounds like a good price, you know, I mean, in today's economy.
Was that you, Sean? I couldn't tell who it was. Whoever it was, speak up.
Nah, I was NHTV, and I just want to interject that. Well, Ventimiglia's, they got good subs, although I don't care for the hard roll. I like the soft bread, and you got to have them add some onion and some red wine vinegar to the sub, and it's great then. So check me back out. I'm just about where I need to be. NHTV, Walt.
Okay, John, yeah, they're... I made a pledge not to eat anything from a corporate outlet. I don't care who it is, just local people, and which I don't eat out that much. In fact, maybe Friday I'll go to the Ukrainian Cultural Center to get their buffet. We'll see how that goes. Dave?
Yep, it's good to hear your voice there, John. Hope you're hopefully hear you more. So nothing else going on today. I won't bore you with the work stuff. But they so far they like me at my work, so that's good, right? So they won't fire me. But yeah, we're having our it's the end of our quarter, so we had kind of like our quarterly kind of this is what we did this quarter and kind of review it and see where we're at. So everybody's happy. So now we're on to the final quarter of the year, which is really not very productive, right? Because, you know, the holidays are going to start coming around the corner here. We got, I mean, I don't know, really Halloween's a holiday, but, you know, you got Halloween and then you got Thanksgiving and then Christmas and all that stuff.
WBAD. Yeah, when we lived in Warren, South Warren, we had tons of kids, just tons of kids. Here in South Sterling Heights, very few children. They go on a stretch on the next block, and these people, they do their house you can't believe. You know, vampires on the roof, witches on the roof, scenes like a car accident against a tree, and it attracts kids anyway. Beautiful. I used to love Halloween with all the children, and taking my kids out then my grandkids, and but those days are long gone.
Yep, I used to be one of those kids back then. They had lots of. I remember neighborhoods just full of kids. And I was, you know, I was participating too. I was one of those kids, and we would just go up and down. You know, probably walk the most I ever did in my life back then, because you'd go to the other subdivision, which we called the rich sub. You know, because they give out full candy bars and stuff like that. So, you know, as a kid, you had to like scavenge for your candy. Now, not today, you just get it, but. No, my kids aren't really interested in doing that, so I think they're kind of like aged out of that. They liked going trick-or-treating, you know, a couple of years ago, but I think that's kind of passed on them. They might, if their friends want to go, then they'll go, but if they don't want to go with the parents, you know.
That's the shame of it. It really is. Not shame your kids don't want to go, they don't want to go. But, I mean, the parents involved in taking the time and effort to spend one evening a year just walking around and with their children. You'll see two parents with about five kids, you know, and you can tell they're not biologically their kids. So, you know what, I'm going to get a bite to eat. It just occurred to me. I'm hungry. I usually eat at 5 o'clock, but my dog got me up at 1. My whole sleep pattern got screwed up, which is okay. She got me up to go outside. So you take it easy, Dave, and we'll catch you later. WBAD.
Well, I'm starting to believe that your sleep schedule is normal because this is what you normally have. So. Anyways, we'll talk to you later. KFAS.
sound like you're out and about.
I am at Newsom Road and 96 in traffic.
Yeah, it's out there. For work or for other reasons?
This is kind of the outer of this repeater.
KFADS. Are you on Phil's or yours?
Let me try Phil's. I am on the 2.6. I can't work the Phil's out here. Normally I think you can, but this is a problem. This antenna problem. Can't work it.
He sounds like he's in the mud.
I'm going to switch.
Well, it's a ways out there.
Sounds like I'm getting better quieting now. Past Wixom, coming up on what would be the next one? I can't remember.
What, Novi?
I think you're right. I think Novi Road's the next one. What is this right here? Oh, Beck. Okay. Yeah, Beck Road, Novi. So, at least the repeater's coming in pretty quiet.
Here, you're about 23 miles out.
We expect so much. You know, it's like this is about as good as it gets.
Yep, unless you had unless we had a mountain here in Michigan you could put your antenna on top of.
Well, the road's starting to roll again, doing 46 big miles an hour. Whee! Anyhow, I was out snagging a bike part. I've been out on a couple of pretty good bike rides recently, and I've been looking for some damping for the front. I was looking at a fork, but they're so expensive. And then I found a suspension stem.
Hey, getting all this equipment, and the season's going to be over. I don't know, maybe everybody's getting rid of stuff.
I ride, I wouldn't say, yeah, I ride year-round, but, you know, obviously less January, February, but I ride all the way through December, and then I'm usually riding by March, when I'm, you know, riding, which I haven't been doing for the last couple of years, and it shows. But yeah, there's plenty of riding left to do. And I gotta get back in the swing of things. And then, you know, I can I got a trainer. I can just pop the rear wheel off my bike and pop it in the trainer, and I can get through the worst month on the trainer.
I had one of those. Basically, it holds your rear wheel up and you can kind of just bike against some resistance.
Well, the computer system on mine's Wahoo Element. Wahoo Element Bolt. I forget which one's the... But anyhow, I'm in the whole Wahoo ecosystem. They're paid sensors and heart rate monitors and all that stuff. and I got a speed and cadence sensor through them and a heart monitor. And then I bought the Yahoo Trainer, which is pretty cool because you take your back wheel off and then you drop your frame into the trainer, and it has a cassette and a flywheel, you know, wheel, and then it syncs up with your phone and your computer, and you can simulate rides you've done. It'll give you the same, you know, you can simulate crosswinds and elevations and all that stuff. And I mean, if you really want to go crazy with it, they've got a device that'll raise and lower the front end of the bike, and, you know, and they've got a fan system that can blow at you, you know, simulating the, you know, simulating that. I don't need to do that, you know, I just, but I do like the, you know, the varying difficulty with the friction and all that stuff, but it's a pretty nice system, and like I said, you take your back wheel off and drop it in, it drops into the thing. It like replaces your back wheel.
Okay, that's much more fancier than I had. I just had I think it was like $30, and you don't take your wheel off. You just put it in this thing, and it basically the tire rubs against the, like, this resistance thing, and you can tighten the resistance, and it's pretty loud though, you know, because it's wheel going against that, and so I imagine what you had was more quiet.
I never had one of the kind like you have, so I don't know how they compare, but you know, it makes a noise, but it's not objectionable. But yeah, it's pretty sophisticated setup, and you know, it can really keep you in shape in the off months. And it's not hard to, you know, I change wheels like I change, you know, riding gear. So it's no big deal. And dropping it into that just as easily as traveling, switching from my road wheels to my dirt wheels.
I'm surprised they haven't done something like that with the e-bikes, you know, kind of like you raise your e-bike up and then you just use the pedals, you know, and the motor just, you could have the electricity that just adds resistance instead of pedaling for you.
Yeah, I'd have to think about that. Probably wouldn't be out of the question, but yeah, that'd be clever. Anywho, it honestly, biking was one of the more enjoyable things I've done of all the, you know, there's a couple of things I look back on, you know, and just total joy. And motorcycling, you know, in certain circumstances, riding motorcycles, riding bicycles, and some variations of hunting. Those things have been the purest, you know, individual, you know, joy I've ever had, is doing those things. And so I want to get back on the bike very seriously. It's good for my physical health, my mental health, everything.
Well, that's good. At least you're starting that back up instead of letting it sit around. So time to do some work, I guess. Time to get back in shape. I wanted to do more bike riding this year. I just didn't get around to it. Next year will probably be better, I'm guessing. But I'll find more places to go and stuff like that. But I honestly thought I was going to do more biking this year, but that didn't happen.
Well, I don't, considering your year, that doesn't surprise me at all. So, you know, once you get settled into the new place and that, you know, I mean, you may find yourself just, you know, going nonstop with the new place, you know, for the next year. So, you know, don't necessarily think, you know, next year is going to be, you know, when you're going to be kicking back and, you know, with a smoking jacket and the pipe and newspaper by the fireplace, you've got a brand new house going to keep you, that's going to keep you running. So, but yeah, you'll get to it. You got just a lot going on, right?
Yeah, I know that's going to take up a lot of time, but the thing is I'll be in one place doing it, so, but yeah, I almost consider that exercise in itself because you can't sit around, but yeah, I got a lot of things to, I think it's more meant, just getting away from it would be nice every once in a while, just so I don't have to think about it, or get away from it, get away from the problem so that you have time to think and then come back to it. So, but we'll see how next year goes. You got 29 more days and then I start the chaos, but I'm going to start boxing things up starting this weekend though. I'm going to be ready at least for myself. I can't speak for the rest of the family, but if I'm ready and done, then I can help them. So it's kind of like the first put your life preserver on before you help others put theirs on.
Yep. And you are right. It is a good way to decompress. You know, just that's what I loved about it. You know, it's just you could, you know, have a rough day at work or, you know, something going on or just, you know, you just been running like with a chicken with your head cut off, get on the bike and go do an hour ride, you know, or something like that. It just clears the mind. You know, for me, I usually put on my headphones, not the closed ear ones, the open ear ones, you know, so I can still hear extremely well. And put on music and get on the bike and I just go. And honestly, it's zen-like. It really is very, very medicinal. So, yeah, for nothing else, even when you're hectic, it's nice to do that. And I find the thing with me is I just got to decide. You know, I just got to say I'm going to do it. You know, it's like, and rain, you know, shouldn't matter. I know it does for a lot. You know, cold doesn't bother me. I've been out in frigid weather biking. But, you know, it does. Like, you got to try to not, like, cool or misty or threat of rain. You gotta say, you put those, you know, yeah, those don't stop you. If it's pouring or if it's frigid or if there's a lot of ice and snow, yeah. But if it's cold, you know, but dry or you know, it's a little damp, but not raining, storming or not too cold, I go.
Yeah, I wonder if there's any trails around Anchor Bay. Like, that would be a cool place to ride your bike. You get to have the water on one side. But it looks like there's a bunch of houses there. I was looking at the map. Not really. It doesn't look like there's a path or anything.
I don't know of anything right by you, you know, where your new place. You know, you got Macomb Orchard, but, you know, there's no, it's not right there. You've got the, whatever the hell they call the 16-mile road trail, but that's not near you. You got the Avoca, but that doesn't start until Port Huron. I mean, honestly, you're kind of like in an area that's not terribly, you know, abundant with trails, you know. But you'll figure it out. I'm sure there are some up there. You know, once you figure out where and the path and all that stuff, it'll be all good. Anchor Bay, I don't know. I think there is an official bike path that uses the... it does run Anchor Bay and up the river, but I don't know that it's actually, you know, bike only, like a bike path. I think it might be just roads that they deem, you know, conducive.
Yeah, you just go through subdivision streets, but it looks like a lot of these subdivisions are like, you know, if they're near the lake, they're going to have like boat slips and all that stuff, so it's not like continuous.
You'll have to see. There's, I've never been out there for any reason where I would have had to have, you know, figured out. But I'm sure you'll figure out where the riding is. Right where I'm at, you know, specifically, is not real good with riding. But, you know, I have my path to the good riding areas. You know, so that's the best you can do in some areas. And that's what I do. In general, Macomb County is not really great about services for their citizens. You know, they parks in Macomb County are basically sports fields and picnic tables. You know, it's nothing like you see in Oakland County or other communities.
Yep. Well, I'll just have to invest in a bike rack, that's all. But we'll see. That's next year's concern or whatever. But there's plenty of places to ride around where I'm at. I mean, not like trails, but like on the sidewalk, and then you can go into people's subdivisions and things like that.
There's always some place to ride. You know, I think Don has one or two bike racks. I don't know if they would work for you, but, you know, they'd be free for the taking.
Yeah, I'm not at a point where I want to accumulate more stuff right now, so I just leave it be. I was just thinking, you know, my bike does fold up and fit in the car. Just it has to be me. You know, I can't bring the kids' bikes and stuff like that. So it would just be for me. I just fold the bike up, put it in the back, and off I go.
Yeah, there you go. My bike, I have a bike rack, and it's pretty heavy duty. It's a two-position bike rack. And I'd like to get something probably a little bit smaller and lighter, you know, just enough. My bike only weighs, you know, like 25 pounds, and I'd like to get something, you know, just enough to, and I got a trailer hitch, so it's pretty easy to hook up, so, but something a lot lighter, easier to haul. Mine's pretty beefy, my bike rack, pretty good one, but that's what I do, you know. Sure, there's a lot of, I've got a lot of paths carved out where I live, and, you know, mostly like Royal Oak, Ferndale, a lot of parks in Oakland County. I have paths too, and I can ride those. And we just went to, the other day, Spanning and I did, we just said, let's go to this park, and then we'll shoot through this up to that park, and then we'll shoot across this to that park, and then we'll go down here to that park, and then we like this little, like, you know, five-park odyssey. And, you know, we did 16 miles, so it was pretty cool. But the bike rack's the way to go, because now I can just, you know, throw the bike on the back and run up to Bloomer or Paint Creek or something like that. Paint Creek's probably my favorite. That's my number one favorite trail. If I don't want to go, you know, off-road. Well, that's off-road, but, you know, it's kind of straight. I just want to get some biking in. So Paint Creek probably. There are some stretches of the Clinton River Trail that run through West Bloomfield that are pretty sweet too, but you know, and then the Pollyann's not bad in some spots, but my favorite by far, you know, just starts and finishes Paint Creek coming out of Rochester up to Lake Orion. That's a great trail.
KFAS. Yeah, I used to go on Paint Creek Trail back in the day, like in the 90s. Back when it was quote-unquote new. And I remembered riding all the way from Rochester to Lake Orion and then back again. Now the exit in Lake Orion is like there's so many things built up. I think when they first made the trail, there was just like one little ice cream shop. You know, like there was an ice cream shop. And now it's all built up. And that park that's in Rochester, on the Rochester side, is pretty good too. I don't know if they let you have e-bikes on that trail, though. I think they do. You just have to be 10 miles per hour or something like that.
most of them are, will allow, you know, what is it, class 1, I think it is, or class, what is it, class 1, 2, 3, I forget, A, B, C, I don't know. But they'll allow the one where it's pedal assist at 20 miles an hour top. You know, they'll allow those. You know, it's the class 2 and the class 3 that start to get, you know, varying clearance. And, you know, and the bottom line is, you know, one, who's enforcing it, and two, you know, who really knows the difference, you know. It's like mopeds. Mopeds are only allowed to be, you know, this and that. They've got all these stipulations for what constitutes a moped, but, you know, nobody knows the damn difference, you know. So, these kids got mopeds that'll do 45.
Yeah, for me, it's just a sticker on the bike. Take the sticker off and it reveals a class 3 sticker. And that, they only do that if you hack the bike. You go into the bike settings and set it for class 3 mode. Then you can take the sticker off. But, yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody's going to care unless you're being a jerk and going really fast and causing trouble. But it's not like there's police on the trails, right? It's only if you would have had to been doing something else that they, you know, pulled you over or whatever you want to call it, and then they just add that onto it. But yeah, nobody's gonna, as long as you're being nice and doing the speed limit or whatever, somewhere near it, I don't think anybody's gonna care.
If you're riding Pain Creek Trail, you have to have an e-bike if you stop at La Puma's. You said what about Pain Creek? If you're riding Pain Creek, you got a what on an e-bike? You need an e-bike if you stop and eat at La Puma's. Or an Uber.
Or a Lyft.
I'm driving right by Portillo's now, and you guys got me all hungry for hot dogs. Hello, Dakota. I'm driving right by. I have no idea what. I'm out here in Southfield. I don't know anything out here. I just see three buildings ahead. Dave?
I'm just riding all the roads on Google Maps. So. How's my audio, by the way? Is it okay? Because I'm using the computer. Go ahead, Dakota.
NABBF, you sound fine. I actually didn't even know you were on a computer. Sean? Yeah, I would have never known. So, interesting. Oh, by the way, that reminds me. I tried to use DB Switch connect up to the hub the other day. I was in Gross Point? No, where was I? Where the hell was I? It was someplace where I didn't expect to have the best service. And I kept hearing these beeps and stuff like that, and I wasn't sure if I was connected, and I tried to call out, and I don't know what the hell was going on. It was very weird. It was an area where I didn't have the best T-Mobile signal. But, so I'm going to have to get on the DB switch and find out if that's working right.
Yeah, I was having trouble connecting up with this, and I used my VPN tunnel, and it got in. So I wonder if there's yet some other IP chains or IP table rules that I got to tweak for allowing incoming. I'll have to charge up my Android tablet and test it all out. Go ahead, Dakota.
As if I predicted the Verizon outage today, I switched to AT&T on Saturday, and I haven't had issues with that yet. Sean, are you liking that T-Mobile still? I can't find fault so far. I mean, I've only had it for, you know, a couple of weeks. Or has it been even a couple of weeks? A week? I don't know. Whatever it's been. I haven't had it that long, and but I haven't had any fault. Pretty much anywhere I look, it's got as good or better service than Verizon had. So
I can't complain with that. I've not had any problem with call quality, drops, anything like that. The data's been really good. The browsing's been really good. Just in general, it's knock on wood. It's great. So, you know, we'll see. But, you know, I'm gonna give it the long haul. It's gonna be a 2-year hitch. And you know, if after 2 years, I'll really know.
Yeah, I have to agree. I've been liking them as well. Where I'm at this apartment right now, the internet thing isn't as great, but with my preliminary tests where I'm going to be using it, it's more than acceptable. I mean, even here, it's more than acceptable. I mean, you know, back when cable modems and stuff came out, we were only getting 1 megabit per second, so we shouldn't be whining if we get 100. You know, it's like, most streams don't even need 25, so most people can just live off of 100 and, you know, or slower. But, yeah, it's 400. It's a new place. It's 200 max here at the apartment. So I can't complain about it. It's going to be my backup internet if Xfinity or whatever goes down. So, and they subsidize it if you've got a phone. So there you go.
Those are still good speeds. That's what I'm getting. I just put a Unify system in my house. Granted, the AP's not mounted yet, but I'll get about 400, 400 to 500 on a good day if Spectrum's cooperating, which Spectrum's a whole other story. They're horrendous. But I've had a similar result with AT&T. It's been good everywhere. The main reason I switched to AT&T is I can see that AT&T tower when I look out my back door. So I finally had enough going home on Friday from 32 to my driveway. I did not have service with Verizon. So I went Friday night, and I said, I'm good. I've had enough.
Yeah, that's what you got to do. You know, you got to, you know, find out what works right where you're going to be. I mean, you know, your work, your home, your places you travel. You know, I can accept that T-Mobile's not going to work, you know, everywhere. I'll find somewhere where it doesn't work. But you know what? It works at home and it works at work.
Yeah, I'll have to see. I mean, it sounds like it's just working really good for you, Dakota. But I was having random troubles at like 23 and Shaner, at Costco. I mean, they were consistent. Chesterfield, you know, that Gratiot and 23 area over there. It was just, I had a lot more dead spots, and you know, and I couldn't use, you know, navigation. You know, I knew where to go. I had maps in my head, but I didn't have the specific, like, address where I needed to go, like, where you turn when you get into the general area. So I wanted the guidance to work, and I couldn't get that thing plugged in until I was, like, 2 miles away from where it wasn't working.
I've noticed today, and I'm hoping it's related to this outage that AT&T versus T-Mobile are all having some issues with. My data was in and out. I'd have 300 down 1 second, and in the next second I've got, like, nothing. But this weekend, everywhere I went, it was really good. I mean, places I've never had service in my life, I didn't have any issues, so. But yeah, Sean, you're right. You know, you got to find what works for you. They're all pretty comparable. We got a smoking deal on AT&T. We pay $120 a month for 3 lines because my wife is eligible for FirstNet, which Dave said you're not a fan of. I want to know why. And then she traded in her paid-off iPhone and got a new iPhone 16 Pro for, like, $1 a month. And then I bought a iPhone 12 off of Back Market, traded in, and got $1,000 off. I have 24 Ultra, so our bill is, like, $140 a month for 3 lines of new phone. But I think it's a good play on the first thing.
Oh, my objection is not with FirstNet. My objection is with, you know, their snake oil sales techniques. So, you know, okay, so they got awarded band 14, which is what FirstNet is all about. You know, it's all marketing hype. They got band 14, and the federal government, you know, $1 billion to build out this network. They won.
And so now they're going around puffing their chest out. Oh, yeah, we're FirstNet. We've got coverage everywhere with FirstNet, Band 14, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, but if you don't have the towers in my community, I don't care where you have Band 14, and you know, you don't have the infrastructure to deploy it. Unless you're putting up new towers in my community, FirstNet doesn't mean crap. So it's not FirstNet that I have an objection to. It's that them saying that FirstNet makes the difference. That's why you should come to us, because FirstNet. Yeah, but your tower structure in my neighborhood sucks still. Unless you were taking that money that you got for building out FirstNet, you were building in my community, and now I have better coverage. I don't care what bands you have and what ruthless preemption or, you know, all these other, you know, first responder, you know, benefits or anything like that. It's meaningless to me. So that's my complaint. It's not FirstNet per se. It's their marketing of it as if suddenly that made their footprint better, you know, where I need it.
Go ahead, Dakota, and respond.
No, that's completely valid, and I kind of thought the same thing. So we've got it under my wife's license, right, her RN license. So she is on FirstNet. I am not. I'm just a peasant on the rest of the towers. But I agree. If you don't have a tower or coverage in my area, what good is it to me? You know, unless it's one of those things where the area you work has it, which I'm sure all major cities do, right? And that, unfortunately, is the main demographic for 99% of advertising.
Right, right. Yeah, the concept of FirstNet, Band 14 and all that stuff, and the first responder, you know, preemption and or exclusive rights, but they've Band 14. Yeah, great. That's great. Good concept. And they are getting money to build the system out. But the money is to build the system out in places that wouldn't have... They're not supposed to be building it in metropolitan markets where there's a financial incentive for them to have towers. They're supposed to be, the money was supposed to, the billions of dollars they got to build out FirstNet was to give coverage where normally there isn't coverage. Nobody wants to put one in a tower in Baldwin. You know, FirstNet's supposed to, because FirstNet is supposed to have coverage everywhere, even on islands off the coast of the state. You know, big Boys Blank and all these are supposed to have coverage. You know, that's what FirstNet's supposed to do. So it's great for building towers in places that I don't care about. It doesn't really do anything about building the tower infrastructure that already exists in Macomb County, let's say. So, you know, so I just, and again, FirstNet's great. There's nothing wrong with it. It's a good plan, and I get it if their footprint satisfied my needs, which you know, that it did not. Like Dave, I travel in a lot of same areas as he does, and I find the same complaints that he have valid. And, they were never really on my radar. But you know what? Again, it's what, you know, it's what works for you where you live.
Yep. Yeah, that's pretty much how I reasoned about things. It's like I had T-Mobile for a year with the hotspot, and I would ride around with it with my, you know, my node and all that stuff. And it just worked wherever I went. So, I mean, most of the places where I went, there was, you know, a couple places where we had some issues where, like, on the way to Wetzel, there was, like, this little corner, 29 and something that I would normally not be out there. I can live with that for a quarter of a mile, and then it works again. So I'm pretty confident that T-Mobile will suit my needs. So I've been happy with them so far. Their customer service, they've always been nice and pleasant when you talk to them and all that stuff. So good first impression so far.
If you're talking about 29 and North Ave, I can assure you that nothing works there. I was a dead zone for me from about a half mile north of that intersection until about a mile past that intersection, south of it. And, my only concern with AT&T so far is, so I use Ubiquiti or Unify Wi-Fi Man, and it tells me the signal strength of the network I'm connected to, including, you know, cellular connections. So I'm worried that AT&T inflates the signal bars to show, you know, better coverage than what's actually there. But I can't give them a fair review, right? I ported Friday night, had no issues Saturday, Sunday. It's been absolutely awesome. Today I really haven't had any issues either, but I know there's a bunch of outages because of what's going on down south. So that's my only concern. Like today in the office, there's a couple times where I'm purposely not connecting to Wi-Fi to test this. And it would say I had like 4 out of 5 bars, and then I would check my signal reading through my app, and it would say I'd had like a negative 105. And I'm like, huh, that doesn't really make sense.
Download, let me get the name of it. There's a few apps, but there's apps that'll just look at, you know, pure RSSI. So, you know, you can skip whatever stupid tomfoolery they're doing with their the meter on the phone, and that'll give you a real, you know, RSSI reading, you know, like neg 100, neg 80, you know, things like that. Now you can, have a quantifiable, and there's also one that drops pins with signal readings everywhere you go. It runs in the background, and then you can go back and look at it, and you can see where, how it's been everywhere you've been traveling. Yeah, Network Cell Info Lite and Mobile Signal Finder. Those are both pretty cool.
Which one leaves the breadcrumbs?
I think it's Mobile Signal Finder. That one also gives, you know, RSSI readings, so, you know, you're not counting on the, any tomfoolery. Mobile Signal Finder, and it will drop, you know, little marks, and they'll be green, red, yellow, and you can tap on any one of them, and see what the, you can see what exactly it was reading at that point. It's pretty cool.
All right, I'm going to give that a shot then, just to see if it's actual real data. Because the other thing too, I have 2 SIMs on my phone, and I can watch them have different levels of signal, which is funny because they use the same antennas.
Who's on the second SIM?
I didn't catch the beginning of that. What was that?
I said, who's the provider on the second SIM?
They're both AT&T. They were both Verizon. It's not a matter of diverse coverage, which I wish it was, but it's like $90 versus $30 if I go to another carrier and have that on my phone. It's mainly to have a number that I give out to people, you know, that I work with and in my professional life, and then have a personal number that I give out to, you know, family and you guys and people that I don't care if they call me at 9 o'clock at night or text me at, you know, 10 o'clock at night.
Well, the one you want to get for that is called Network Cell Info Lite. There's Network Cell Info and Network Cell Info Lite. That'll actually put both SIMs against each other with a real, signal strength meter. And I had that when I had both T-Mobile and Verizon on this phone. And I could watch them, real time right in front of me, watch the difference between them. And it'll tell you what, you might be on a different tower, or you might be on a different you might be on a different band, with one of them. So it could be that.
Dave, I didn't mean to cut you out. Are you still there?
Yeah, I was letting you guys talk for a bit because you had some back and forth, just reading some things. Unfortunately, there's no cool apps like that on iOS. I was looking for them. That's what I was trying to look for, so. So it seems like I need to get, like, an Android phone I can, like, slip the SIM card into and out of. But I can't get away from my iOS. I have to keep it. I need iOS.
Yeah, that's probably the one thing that keeps me in Android is just all the cool programs that, you can get. You can think of it. They probably got it. Now, the programs that I've seen, when it finally does come to Apple, it's so much nicer. It's so polished and nice and everything, most of the time. So there's that.
All right, I'm just pulling it up at home, gentlemen. Travel safe, and we'll catch you in a bit.
All right, Sean, I'll talk to you. Did I tell you that I had an iPhone for 12 hours this weekend?
Was that just so you could trade in? You just, like, got the phone, and I heard you said you bought an iPhone 12, and then you used that to trade in?
Yes, a lot of moving parts, but I had my S24 Ultra I just got from Verizon, which is still in the return window, so I'm just returning that, and I paid off my wife's phone, so we were free and clear, no contract, no device payments. We just walked away from Verizon, and then traded in her phone. I paid it off for like $130. We got $1,000 off of her new iPhone 16 Pro. And then if I traded in an iPhone 12, I got $1,000 off also. So I went on Backmarket, which is like a refurbished electronics website. I paid $230 for an iPhone 12, got $1,000 off my new phone. So I got an iPhone 16 Pro Max. I'm like, screw it, the phone's sweet. I'll give my iPhone a whirl again. I got it home, they added that camera button to the bottom right side of the phone. I couldn't stand it, I hit it every 5 seconds. Couldn't use some of my work apps like ConnectWise, Screen Connect on it. So I was back at AT&T the next morning, and I still got $1,000 trade-in for that iPhone 12 on my S24 Ultra. So, yeah, I'm just going to stick with Android for now. I do better with it. But I just ran a speed test. I'm in a spot where Verizon literally didn't work. I'm getting 40 down and 5 up, so I guess I can't complain.
KB0 DCO.
I heard KD0BCO. I'll give it to you in a second here. I don't know how I'm going to like that camera button. I got a Pro Max as well coming, so I'm hoping you can reassign it. Go ahead, Echo Link Station.
Yeah, I just wanted to jump in there and say hello. My name is Thomas, and the call Kilo Bravo Zero Delta Charlie Oscar coming to you from Stuart, Minnesota, and coming in through the Flying Deers International ARC hub via my HOIP telephone, thanks to Captain Don, if you know who he is, W8CPT, out of Michigan there. And so he told me about your guys' link, and I thought I'd give it a try and see who's all out there and who all knows Don. I'm actually on his all-star hub, I guess you'd call it, or node. I guess depending on where you're at, you call it something a little different. But I think a node is the generic term. And so I thought I'd give it a try. And told me about this one. It's like, yeah, it looks like it's all 440 repeaters hooked up. I thought there was... Yep. But anyways, we'll turn it back to you.
All right, very good. I got to jump out of here. Dakota, I'll chat with you a little bit later. We're about to have dinner here. Sorry, I have to jump out. So we'll chat with you all later. Nice meeting you there, Thomas. And yes, we know who Captain Don is, Mr. Spaceman. So I'll talk to you all later. 73 is for now. I'll get over to Dakota, and I'm going to head upstairs. KF8S.
All right, Dave, I'll catch up with you. And Thomas, yeah, please, Beachman, we're pretty close to Captain Don. We know him for quite a bit. He's part of the Who Cares Network here. Beachman, I haven't seen him in a bit, but I know that he's super active, usually in the later hours of the day. But I'm rolling up to the house here, time for one more, and then I'll listen out.
Yeah, okay, I'm trying to get used to the Star 99 and Pound business, but yeah, connected into the All-Star, I guess the number I jumped in on was 43732, and so giving that a shot, see if I can see who else I can irritate for a while, and I'm saying that kind of kind of jokingly and somewhat serious in the same breath there. And anyways, yeah, I met up with my first contact, well, not my first contact, but the first time we had talked with Don was on the ISS, obviously. And I think we met back in late 2023. So it's been a little while, and he's been very gracious and helpful and helped me out with some stuff and sent me this Audio Codes 405HD phone, and he got it free, so he passed it forward, and so now I get to play with it a while. And haven't decided if I want to go into the big fancy phone yet, but I only got so much desk space to work with anyways. And I'm running FT8 in the background and on the Yaesu FT991A, and we did make a contact with Don through that way as well. Where the heck am I right now? On the grid tracker program showing me at about 709 QSOs with about 468 QSLs. So that ain't too bad, I guess. Try to work all states on the different bands and maybe try to get some certificates, maybe. Being in an apartment makes it a little bit more challenging with indoor antennas. So I'll turn back to you for one more go-around, and yeah, you're getting a little picket fencing there, so you're probably getting away from the repeater there anyways. KB0, DCO back to you.
Had a lot of fry coming in too, but yeah, we're out here often, and I'll be on the HF bands again. Hopefully this winter. I do miss playing some long distance radio. So I don't even know if I'm making it out. Hopefully I can, but I'll clear out and I'll catch up with you later. NATM.
Okay, sounds fine. Well, nice to meet you guys, and yeah, I'll get your guys' call signs and names down the road. For now, we're just kind of in and out and checking out some things and seeing what trouble I can get into. Oh, yeah, and as far as the time schedule, yeah, Don and I usually are on the late night schedule, and I get up and around afternoon at some point and usually head to bed around 6 to 7, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning, depending on what I'm doing. So I'm usually up during the late night shift, I guess. And I consider myself early retired, too. Don and I are somewhat in the same boat, bad pun there, but so I got my issues, he has his, and so we kind of talk about some things here and there, and such is life. Take it one day at a time. And we'll catch you down the logs. This is KB0DCO. I'll stand by for a little bit, and then if anyone wants to chat with me before I run, that's fine. Otherwise, I'll drop the link on my end. KB0DCO.
W8HBX, KF8AT. What I thought I had my grubby little hands on. Yeah? What would that be? Not one, but two 8-foot Francis fiberglass whips. Oh, yeah. You can put dualies on your car. Dual truckers.
I heard a rumor that if you take the top part of a Antron 99 off and screw in a Francis, it'd be a lot better, a lot more wide-banded. I don't know, just a rumor.
Well, based on the design, I don't see why not. If I'm not mistaken, they got the two or three different length elements inside the rod.
That would be three. Yep, and they worked really good.
Yeah, I'd use one to top off like a tower heel, and you know, when you're stationary, and that would probably, that tower heel would probably sing. Put a, get a, my big tower heel with the capacity hat and the 8-foot Francis. Shoo-wee, that thing would probably work like gangbusters. Of course, you couldn't drive with it unless you guide it to the front of the car.
Yeah, even on that trailer hitch mount, just by itself, I wonder if it will definitely tune up on 10 meter. I wonder if it'll work on 20. It might work on 20 if your radio's got a built-in tuner. It might, I don't know. There's got to be somebody that's tried that.
I still have one really nice one in good shape, and I do run it occasionally. And I have had problems getting on 20 with it. It's been hit-miss. I've been able to get 17 and up, no problem. But 20 has always been hit-miss, depending on what I'm using to tune it. You know, obviously you need a tuner, right? So, you know, not, you know, you introduce a movable coil like a tar heel, and, you know, you can go anywhere, depending on how much coil you got.
Some good license plates around here, but I can't. I gotta wait till I come to a light. Anyhow, I could have swore I heard Don mentioning that he used one of those, and it tuned up on 20 meter, no problem. I may be figment of my imagination, but I could have sworn that he used to talk about that.
Yeah, like I said, it depends. You can pretty much get 17 through 10 out of them. You probably get 6, I don't know. But you probably get 17 through 10. And I've had mixed results on 20. You know, so I've been able to get it in some cases, not in others. It depends on the tuner and how you got it mounted, and your ground plane and counterpoise, you know, et cetera, et cetera. 20, I think, is just hit and miss. Depends on, just depends on your setup.
If you don't mind me asking, were those antennas in said person's garage, sitting in the corner of his garage or something?
Yes, they were.
Well, I remember he always had that picture of one mounted on his motorcycle. I don't know if it was a fictitious picture, he just stuck it on there, it wasn't actually mounted, or one on his bicycle or something. Yeah, they work good on a bicycle. I can vouch for that.
I think we might be talking about two different people, but no, I saw a picture. Guy actually had 7 various different ones, and I saw the long ones. There were 2 of them that looked like they went all the way to the rafters, and I says, I'll take the 2 long ones and for this much. And the person said, okay, and I get down there, and the 2 long ones were like 5-footers, you know, or 4-footers or something. I went, you know, and then I looked, it was an optical illusion. You know, they were all like 5-foot or less, or 4-foot or less. I'm like, oh, man.
Five could look like 8 at the right angle. That's what people have told me.
Yeah, well, the joist that I thought was the rafter was actually a midway. It was a middle joist, and
you know, there was no one picture that showed the whole thing, and it just it said, okay, I'll take the two that, you know, the two long ones, because they look, just a quick observation, they look like they were, you know, 8 foot. So, and I walked up to them and went, no. So, anyhow, man, I thought, all right, anyhow, I'm home with the Taco Bell. I'm going to get inside. W8FU.
Roger.
W8EAP.
And I'm at the light, and these people with the funny plates are behind me. Oh, well.
Have a crunch wrap supreme for me, KJO.
We got Gemini with a J, Timbits, and Vaxerman. But they're all behind me. I like to take pictures of funny plates. But, nope, not going to happen today. And I am on E, heading towards W, so I better get some gas over here.
Easy, keep your mind.
Or the KC8 something, and you faded out there. Not quite solid.
Fast as I'm talking on a little 8. You know, I'm up in Memphis. It's Kilo Charlie 8, Kilo Julian Oscar, KC8 Cujo.
Roger on that. Where are you located?
On my couch in my house in downtown Memphis, just north of Richmond. So I'm kind of surprised I'm in the Richmond repeater on 5.
Oh, you're not super strong in there, but I can hear you. Yeah, I'm on the Warren machine, just going through Sterling Heights right now. About 6 miles from the repeater, I think, 5 miles.
Well, actually, I feel pretty good that I can hit the Richmond repeater with this little bow thing.
Watts is watts. Five Bowfang watts is the same as 5 Whoopson watts, and Yaesu watts, Kenwood watts, and Motorola watts. Watts is watts. 5 watts is 5 watts. The key is the antenna.
Yeah, if I hold the antenna straight up and kind of lean it a little bit towards Richmond, I think I get a better TX on it.
You can always rig yourself a nice indoor antenna, get a magnum mount, stick it on a cookie sheet by the window, stick something up in the rafters, as soon as you can't put an antenna outside, but yeah, it's pretty easy to make a UHF antenna, coat hangers, aluminum rod, whatever you got laying around, pipe.
Yeah, but then my dogs would eat it, or, you know. My wife will get all jittery. She's got a metal plate in her head. And I'm just joking.
Well, the old magnet mount on the cookie sheet would work.
Yeah, I got a spare one. I just got to get a conversion for it from TL-259 to, what's the little screw-in one, NMO?
That would be SMA, and that would be an SMA male. The antenna would be an SMA female. Anyhow, I'm at the gas station. I'll be back. W8EAP.
Copy that. Don't talk in fuel. KJO.
W8EAP.
KJO.
Roger.
Yeah. What kind of Bofang is it, the UV5R or the new ones, the new series?
No, it's the UV5R. I've had it for a while.
Yeah, for like $30, they got the 5RM, which is like an 8-watt, had a big, huge display, aircraft, frequency capture, big radio. It's amazing. But, yeah, I think I got 25 to 30 HTs total. Everything new comes out, I usually buy it. I got all the TID radio ones, the TYPs, the Anytones, Bofang, what, 6 or 7 other brands.
I've had this one for a couple of years. I got it for like $25. I actually stepped outside to let the dogs bark at the other dogs. My dogs are idiots.
Yeah, so you can get those usually $18 to $20 now, because with those new ones that are so much better for only like $27, it's like, I don't think they sell too many of the UV5Rs anymore. Oh, this guy's going to cut my lane. Dude. Man, the driving capabilities just went way down in the last 4 or 5 years.
Driving capabilities went down when Gen Z came around.
Yeah, and a bunch of other different factors, but, you know, people that are not coming from places that are not used to driving or don't have actual traffic laws, you know, and, you know, they just kind of drive by the seat of their pants, you know, making left turns, you know, and from the right lane, and making turns at the actual intersection instead of going to the Michigan turnaround, and driving with their high beams on at night is the new one that drives me crazy.
That's because everything is so automated. I mean, I miss the cars that had the button on the floor that you pressed it for the high beams. And when you put it in the drive, it was drive. It wasn't paddle shift or anything else like that. You had to actually pay attention when you drive.
Yeah, you want to go way back. When I was a kid, I remember push-button transmissions. You had a bunch of buttons, and for parking brake, you'd slide that big lever over to the side there underneath it all.
Oh, you're talking about the old Chryslers. I guess I had to come outside, get some fresh air, get one of our other dogs outside who've been trying to get out. She's an older pup. But just trying to make myself mobile where I can make myself mobile. Wife's keeping a watchful eye over me to make sure I don't stumble anywhere. I like to know what Sean bought at Taco Bell. Sounds like I might have lost you there for a bit, but this is KCKGO. I'll be hanging around on the radio waves.
KB0DCO, monitoring.
KFADBI, KK6J. KFADBI, KK6J, one more time.
KB0DCO, monitoring. Yeah, I guess my friend Don, WHCPT, is calling me on my phone, so I'll disconnect from here and talk with him there. Katie, there it is, yeah. KB0DCO. KB0DCO. W8CPT, KB0DCO.